Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Beer Ladies podcast. We are, as always, we're thrilled that you're with us on a Friday or whenever you are listening. Today, I'm joined by Lisa and Christina. Say hello, my friends.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And we're back in the beer styles territory. So today we're talking about Bock beer. And, you know, huge disclaimer, we are not experts in Bock beer and all the different Bock beers that there are, but we thought it was interesting because it's kind of one of these, you know, well, that's one of the questions is whether it's a family or one style of beer, but it's kind of the time of year that you might start to see a lot of Doppelbocks around. And so, you know, getting into warmer months and just post spooky season, why not indulge in a bit of a Bock? If you can find one, that is one of our challenges. So before we get into what are Bocks and how would one even brew one and know the difference between the different styles, let's just remind everybody out there that we are on all the socials. Literally search us and we're there. We're on TikTok, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're at Beer Ladies Pod pretty much everywhere. And we love it when you come and follow us and like something and comment on something and share it with your friends. Please continue. And if you do really want to support the pod, the best way to do that is to tell your friends, you know, share an episode that you really like. Otherwise, there are other ways to support. For instance, you could buy some merch and you can buy us a pint if you so choose. All of these links are on our social media bios. There's a link tree there that's got every single link you could possibly desire for all of the different things. So thank you for doing all of that. And let's go into Bock and hopefully we're drinking some today. Well, let's see. They're not that easy to find, are they? Christina, friend, what are you drinking?
Alas, I do not have a Bock. I have Rye River Big Bangin' IPA, which is something I've drank a lot of in the past and really enjoy. So that's what I pulled for today's episode. So looking forward to this.
Good stuff. Lisa.
So I did find a Doppelbock. Like you said, it's the time of year for them. Although, again, surprisingly few make their way from Germany over to here in Ireland. Again, one of those things I think we'll get into. And I apologize in advance to any Germans or German-speaking people for butchering this particular beer that I am drinking. But this is the Weizener Bonita. So I think people will probably all know the Polliner Salvatore. So it has the OR at the end. We'll talk a little bit about that, but I did manage to track this down. It is a lovely kind of, you know, deep caramel color, or sort of almost a ruby color almost, but definitely very, very bready, very, you know, I don't want to just say malty because I know people get fussy when you just say malty. So very much sort of bready, toasty, all of those things, but lots going on in mouthfeel. It is definitely a sipper. It's not something you would knock back. Although I might tell a story later about having done that. Don't do that. It's not a smart idea. But yeah, this is coming in at about 8%. So this is very much a dessert beer for me, sipping on it slowly, but very good so far.
Very, very cool. I'm quite jealous because I also went a little bit on the hunt for a bock today. I wasn't too hopeful, and alas, I did not find one, but I did find something that intrigued me regardless, and it is called Blizzard in a Beer Mug. Mm. It's by Tuol, and it's a winter wheat India pale ale.
Oh, so,
I know, this is kind of a weird one.
So many adjectives. Huh.
So many things, so many words all in a row. it seems to be, if I look at it and if I taste it, it seems to be like a New England IPA, but stronger, bigger, heavier, like very, they say on here, fat, fruity, and full bodied. And actually, I think they've captured that. It just tastes like a quite a chewy New England IPA, but not as tropical. It doesn't give me summer vibes. So yeah, Blizzard in a beer mug, why not? Anyway, caught my eye because that was interesting.
Oh, right. Fascinating.
No box for me, no box for Christina. What is a bock anyway? Let's get into it. Lisa, tell us what you know about a bock.
So where it comes from. So the traditional story, I mean, I think everyone knows Germany, Germany, just very sort of writ large. But again, there's a lot of sort of kind of folklore floating around out there that seems a little bit too good to be true, or maybe a little bit too sort of easy to be like, sure, that's the thing. Because I think if you pick up a lot of Doppelbocks, especially, and again, I'm just sort of looking at the one I have now, I did a quick Google on it. And they like to tell you they've been making beers like this since the 11th century, which no, not a thing. That has not been happening. That doesn't mean someone wasn't making beer, but I don't see a bock or a Doppelbock or an ice bock, certainly, especially not an ice bock. And we'll get into that being made at that time. But I think, you know, the traditional story is, in the city of Einbeck, they were making beers that people liked, and that the people in Munich pronounced it Einbock. Bock is a billy goat when you translate it from German. And that in the 19th century, this style became popular and sort of spread. But again, there's also this sort of, you know, this sort of story that, especially with your my box and your sort of standard, which I'm air quoting box, that monks would have brewed these to drink during Lent instead of eating food. This was all part of the fast. And certainly if you look up kind of older beer history things, we'll put some links in the show notes. Authorities like Michael Jackson will say, yes, absolutely, this happened. But these are that kind of things written in the 1980s. When you look at more recent things, when people have done a little bit more digging, they're like, well, really, they were brewing beers kind of like this year round. There wasn't anything necessarily special to the kind of, Lenten observance, or that people were even necessarily replacing food. This was just kind of what they did anyway. So again, I think there's a little bit of, possibly sort of folk etymology going on, possible sort of just hand waving the history. But I think what we can say is these start to become popular in the 19th century when we have industrialization, branding, and when people started to say, ooh, bock, goat, we can put a goat on this, boom, it becomes a thing because people love goats. Goats are great. And I think, again, the other thing is you see the Ator names, especially on the Doppelbox. So obviously like the Salvator, this is the Bonator. The one I would always get in Pennsylvania was the Trogs Troganator, which is a delightful beer. So they all started to kind of copy one another. And it's really hard for me to see that as anything other than pure branding and, beyond anything else. But again, not an expert. So would love to hear from our listeners what kind of the true story is. And I think, Tandy, like we were talking about before we started, like, there are all these different things in the bock family. How do they all interrelate? How similar, how different are they? And how can someone who's maybe just out shopping know what they're picking up? I think, sometimes it's not that deep. It's like, just what might I expect when I'm getting this beer? So lots to unpack.
Yeah, plenty. And I mean, Christina, you and I can go through the different styles of the different kinds of bock that you might get. But the way that I've always understood a bock was just to be quite a strong malt forward lager. Now, that's not true of all of them, because there are different kinds of bocks. And the ones that are certainly agreed in the BJCP, so that's the Beer Judge Certification Program Guide of different beer styles, are Maibock or Helles Bock. Those names are used interchangeably, although there is some contention as to whether they're actually the same thing. The theory that the Helles Bock is really a Helles beer made to Bock strength as opposed to a Helles Bock, whereas the My Bock should be the more kind of traditional one. And that would have been the one, at least according to BJCP, that would have been brewed for spring. Brewed for spring. And that's why I think May is my.
Yeah.
And so it's a spring brew. Yep. And that one would have been drunk quite fresh, supposedly, instead of being aged and kept in the lager cells and in the caves, you know, if you believe the folklore. Unlike the Doppelbock. So Doppelbock is a much darker, richer, almost, people do call it like a liquid bread. So if you can think of like a really like decadent brown bread crust, you know, that's almost what I think of as a Doppelbock. But you know, there are many other descriptors besides malty, but it is one of those that if you think of a Doppelbock, think of malt. That's where you're going.
Yeah, this is definitely chewy. That's, that's a word for it.
Yeah. Then there is an Eisbock. So imagine a Doppelbock, but now you've concentrated it. So, you know, all of these beers, one of their main characteristics is in actually how you brew them rather than what they taste like. So they use a method called decoction, which I'll get to in a minute. But Eisbock takes a Doppelbock and concentrates it down to be even more chewy and rich and sweet and effectively higher in alcohol. So the way that you would do that is to take this beer, freeze it, and then scrape off kind of some of the water. So it isolates the water away from the beer and the alcohol. Then there is the Weizenbock. Now, all of these ones, so the Eisbock, the Doppelbock, the Maibock, or Hellesbock, depending on which way you want to name it, these are all typically lagers. And in my head, that's exactly what a bock is a strong lager. But the Weizenbock is actually much more like a strong Weiss beer. So it uses a typical kind of Weiss yeast, which is an ale yeast. So it's top fermenting, not bottom fermenting. But what's important about this kind of yeast is that it brings you the kinds of esters that you get in a Weiss beer. So banana, clove, bubblegum, as opposed to a cleaner fermentation profile that you'd get from the lager yeasts that would be used in the Maibock, Doppelbock, and Eisbock. But there is another one that is spoken about, which is the Dunkelsbock. Now, if you had to put a gun to my head, I don't know if I would be able to tell you the difference between a Dunkelsbock and a Doppelbock, except for the fact that not all Doppelbocks are dark, where Dunkel does assume or presume it's going to be dark. So you can actually get Doppelbocks that are not quite as dark as what we know them to be. They're not as common. But that's the only difference that I could really see. There are, in the BJCP, there are some differences talking about the different malts used or the different levels of caramelization or Maillard reactions. But it seems to me to be quite subtle.
In the book, so I have this book, and if you're listening and not watching, it's the Beer Bible by Jeff Alworth, and this is a really nice book. It has this whole nice section on all the different kinds of bocks, which is really handy for this episode because I know nothing about bocks.
We're all learning.
So he has said in here, this little nice section about statistics, that the Dunkelbock has an ABV range of 6 to 8%, whereas the Doppelbock has a 6.5 to 10%. So maybe they're just slightly more. I mean, there is obviously some overlap there. They're kind of similar. I'm the same. I probably couldn't tell the difference, except, I mean, I guess if it's above 8%, then I'd be like, oh yeah, that's a giveaway there. So I really think they do seem to be quite similar. And I was laughing before the show and saying, yeah, it's the difference between stouts and porters, which is, of course, as we know, something that's incredibly contentious. And I'm sure since I brought that up, someone is cringing and screaming at me through their headset. So I'm sorry I brought that up, but you know, that is one of those things that we all like to fight about.
Absolutely. I've also seen traditional bock, which again, air quoting for those listening, but I've seen that for what might be a standard bock. I've seen that also on a Doppelbock. So I'm like, traditional is one of these words that really means nothing, but
yeah,
I've seen it applied in so many different ways. So if I saw that, you know, out and about, I don't know that I would assume it was anything in particular. And like, I'd have to like, again, I'd probably be sitting there Googling like, what is this? Who, you know, And I'm sure if I went on Untapped, it would all be like, oh, it's 8%. So it's great. And you're like, oh, okay. But nuance guys, you know, what's, what is this? Need more information.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a weird one for me. I think that after having read up a little bit now about Bock, and I mean, I've not had that many either. So I'd really actually just like to taste more and potentially, you know, air quotes again, but traditional versions or versions that would have come from the areas in which, you know, these kinds of beers come from, because I'd love to know the difference or whether they are just, this one's lighter, that one's darker, that one's aged for a longer period, whatever the case is, but doesn't matter. Bock are great, and I love goats, so I'm a fan.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think I feel like there is still that seasonality to it, where you'll see that, you know, like we said, the My Bock in May, so that all makes sense. The regular, just because it doesn't have another descriptor in front of it, Bock in theory you can find year round. But yeah, I feel like we're seeing all the Doppelbocks come out, you know, right around now, which again makes sense if they were, you know, lagered longer and all of those things. But it's a funny thing though, too, because I do feel like, again, going back to, you know, when we lived in Pennsylvania, it would be a big deal when Trogs released Troganator every year. And it would always be kind of around this time of year. And it would be, you know, like event television, event beer. It would be a thing. Now, not the thing where people would go line up and pay people to stand in line, like not that kind of thing. It was just, there was like this cheerful, oh, it's out now, we can go get some, and you would have it as a dessert beer or that kind of thing. But I don't know, I feel like we've kind of lost a little bit of that kind of looking forward to things.
Yes.
You know, I feel like there's less of the seasonality and less of the sort of, this is a thing that comes out but once a year or that kind of thing. So I don't know. Maybe
it's,
I'm just
funny.
Old.
It's always one of those arguments because, you know, when we talk about pumpkin beers and things like that, people like love pumpkin beers and go mad for them around again this time of year. And then the question is, why don't we just brew them all the time? But actually, it's nice to look forward to things, and it's nice to have things at different times of year. And I bet you Bock is actually no different, you know, in the way that they were brewed and aged and kept.
Yeah, I agree. I like to have certain things for like special occasions and stuff. And I really always look forward to the pumpkin beer, and then I hoard them like a dragon until Christmas, and like try to save one for a while. But yeah, like I love having like Christmas beers around Christmas or winter warmers, and then pumpkin beers around Halloween and Thanksgiving or whatever holidays that you celebrate. It's just kind of nice to have those with the seasonality. So I do really like that we save them for that. Although from what I've seen the last time I visited the US, people are making pumpkin beers earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
And earlier. But don't get me started on the fact that it's not even Halloween yet and I'm seeing Christmas stuff everywhere.
By the same token, I know that the one ice box that I used to see around, at least sort of around in the States, which again you'd think in theory is around somewhere elsewhere in Europe, I'm sure it's around in Germany, is and again, apologies Germans, I'm really trying, Kumbacher makes an Eisbock, and it is, you know, it is one of those things where it is strong and it is theoretically available year round, but it's kind of funny that the one that's kind of the weirder one is the one that's available year round. So I don't know why, but you know, would love to hear if anyone has any theories.
Have either of you had an ice buck?
I have. It was messy, but that's because I had a Doppelbock beforehand. Again, this is the story. Do not recommend. Don't do this. But you know, I was young and naive. Like I was like, you know, 30, but still don't do this. Yeah, it was during a Philly beer week some years ago. This would have been like around like, ooh, I don't know, early 2000s. It must have been a German beer and German style beer event, because I'd had, you know, something else, then a Doppelbock, and then they brought out the Eisbock. And I remember sipping the Eisbock and being like, oh, that's very strong. And then being on my way home on the train and being like, huh, okay, that happened. So again, don't do that. Bad for you. Drink responsibly. But again, I did take the train home. That was all good. Got home unscathed, but I don't remember anything in the way of tasting notes or anything, you know, meaningful. I just remember strong and being like, okay. So would like to try one unmediated. I'll say that.
Yeah. On a sober stomach. I mean, for reference, guys, like a Helles Bock or a Maibock, the typical alcohol range is already stronger than a lager. So, you know, even your lightest version of a Bock is going to be 6.3 to 7.4%. I mean, that is a big beer. What is really good about these kinds of beers, or what, you know, once again, German engineering, and I marvel at it each time. But when you taste a beer like this and it doesn't taste like it, it just tastes sessionable and, you know, delicious. And like it tastes like more, you know, that's the kind of beers that Germans brew really, really well. And this is no exception. But at 6.3%, how do you even get a lager to be that strong and yet so delicious without it being, I don't know, either really dark or, you know, with all the other kind of flavors that go into it? Well, I will tell you. I will tell you. There is one trick to it. So the one trick to making a Bock, if you're going to be brewing one at home, and this is not just for Bocks, by the way, this goes for some Pilsners and it goes for a lot of different styles, but it's to either use decoction mashing, which is when you take a part of your wort. So your wort is, you know, your grain and water that you've been steeping to get out all the sugars. So when you take some of that wort and you boil that down to be almost a really concentrated version of that wort, and then you add it back in to your beer to be fermented. What that does is it adds color and richness and flavor without adding all the sugars, which would make a much higher sort of alcohol beer. So imagine getting a lot of flavor and sweetness and richness, but without all the booze, even though we're talking about, you know, a Helles Bock at 6.5% or whatever, the way that it tastes, it almost should be a lot darker and a lot more boozy, even though it tastes super clean. So that is one method. The other method is through a really long boil. So after you've mashed, you typically take your grains out because we don't want any tannins and things coming from then. And then you start adding your hops and you boil down your wort to sterilize it and to do all the other good things that boiling does. But what it also does is that it concentrates the flavor. So instead of having a ratio of, let's say, 10 to 1 of water, you might end up with a ratio of 8 to 1, which will give you a sweeter base for your yeast to eat on. So a long boil as opposed to, let's say, 60 minutes is standard. So a longer boil could be 90 minutes or 120 minutes, which is 2 hours. That'll help get all of those flavors in to get these really strong lagers. But either which way, you know, those are two of the methods that people would have used to get these really, to get the maximum flavor out of these malts. Because what's really interesting about a lot of these beers is that they're not using dark malts. They're using darker malts very sparingly. It's almost like take your base malt and just treat it in a different way. So use a decoction or boil it for longer to get that almost caramelized nature out of it, as opposed to adding crystal or caramel type malts, which give a different flavor. So it's not as, you know, developed in one direction, which I think is also why these beers are so bready in a sense. They're not bread and toffee and biscuit, you know, they're bready with some caramel, and in a Doppelbock case maybe a little bit of chocolate, but, you know, slight.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely spot on, and I'm thinking too of bad examples I have had and where they go wrong, both from some I've judged in competitions or from what I'm going to put in the category of Renfair beers. I love a good Renfair, but I've had some bad beers at Renfairs. And I'm just going to say, you know, lagers are hard. Maybe don't start with that if, you know, anyway. But I've definitely had, I'm absolutely certain it was the same beer labeled as both a Doppelbock and a Belgian double, identical beer. Was neither of those, but, you know, it was, you could see how they're like, it's dark, it's sweet, it's really strong. But it was, you know, one of these kind of hit you over the head, kind of things. But again, I'm absolutely certain it was the same recipe. It just went wrong in different ways, and sure, slap a label on it. But, you know, that said, I do think it's interesting how you have, you know, kind of broadly similar things, again, comparing it to like a double, but you don't have that like candy sugar kind of sweetness. It's a different, you know, again, that more bready kind of character versus a sort of, again, sort of sweeter, like sugary character you would get like in a Belgian double. But like, you know, looking at them, they look pretty similar. They smell pretty similar too. So I think, you know, again, some different yeast characters there as well, but you do get that clean finish in, I think, any kind of bock that, you know, different from, you know, kind of a Belgian yeast, or even if you're like thinking of like a strong brown ale or, you know, something like that, like you're still kind of in the ballpark, but it's got that clean finish, despite the strength. So one way to say, oh, they got it right.
Yeah. And then just tying it back to your icebox story, you know, icebox being the most concentrated and the highest alcohol of the different bocks in the bock family, between 9% and 14%. So there we go, Lisa. And you're all of about 5 foot, you know.
I mean,
you know, with heels. So
I'm only small, you know, it was a lot. And I was probably much skinnier then too, because this was like pre-child. I was off, you know, living my best life. So but yeah, it was a whole thing. But I do have some other fun Bock related stories to do with goats. So I'll just wheel one of those out also, because it actually introduces another substyle that does it or does it not exist. We can, you know, we can discuss. So again, we lived in Pennsylvania for 9 years. So rolling that out there, but Sly Fox Brewery in Pottsville has an annual, you know, basically goat race. It's a bock fest and goat race. And it is so much fun. And it's, you know, super family friendly. They have, you know, German beer and food, obviously, but they always brew their Doppelbock, which is called Instigator. They have a Maibock, and the Maibock is named after whichever goat wins the race, the beer will be named after that goat. And for a while, there was a goat who had only three legs who was winning like every year consecutively. She was just like unstoppable. You know, so so it was several years where it was called, you know, it was basically the Peggy Maibock, because Peggy couldn't lose. Peggy was out there like, you know, taking no prisoners. So good for her.
So cute.
It's such a fun event. And you can tell like these goats are so loved and looked after. They're having a great time. They're just hanging out. And, you know, again, the race is very chill. They just get to go and run, you know, down a pitch basically. But another thing Sly Fox brews is their Reisenbock. So again, add another layer of complexity. So yeah, you can, how do you even check that in if that's what you're inclined to do? So it's basically a rye Reisenbock. Yeah, how do you combine,
even sound like it should be a style, do you know what I mean?
Right Yeah, you're combining like the rye and the wheat, and just think about all that. But then, you know, I think that's going to get, you know, some interesting kind of aroma things going on, and a little bit of spice in there. So you know, again, people shouldn't feel limited by, you know, BJCP says X and Y.
Yes.
I mean, when you can say, what if we had a fun event with goats? And, you know, just sort of threw this in the mix. I think it's all good. And I think, you know, that's something like, I feel it's a very, I feel like you do have this little pocket in that part of sort of the, you know, Northeast North America, where you have, you know, the German influence. So you have the different sort of lager styles and sort of sub styles that maybe didn't stay other places for one reason or another. But I do want to say that, and I may be crazy about this, but I want to say that I think Michelob made a bock for a while, like that was just on sort of wide distribution. And I don't know if it was a real bock. I'm sure people were snooty about it, but I'm pretty sure that existed for a while in the world. And for a while, I mean, like in the recent past, not in like the early 20th century, where pre-prohibition, something along those lines might have been more reasonably expected to exist, but I don't know. So yeah, listeners, if you guys remember that, I'd just be curious to know, have I made this up in my head, or was this a real thing? So
yeah
I'm gonna have to send that goat race to my aunt, because my aunt has pet goats.
It's so much fun,
and she lives in Pennsylvania, so that is right up her street. So I will
have totally go.
Yeah, she would be so happy, because she loves her goats, and this would just be, she'd be thrilled. She'd be so excited.
Yes. My sister-in-law has goats. Hi, Kathy. I've tried to convince her to take a goat. It has never happened yet, but maybe, you know, she's not far. She could get there. Just saying.
I just like the prize of having the beer named after the winning goat. That is so cool.
It's super cool and they change it every year, but how much fun is that? It's just like, it's such a unique, you know, unique thing. And, you know, they take a picture of the goat, and if you go on their website, you'll see the past winners, and it's adorable. So
goats. We've got to have the link to this event in our show notes, please. Oh my gosh. That is so cool. But actually what is interesting. So Lisa, you touched on it a little bit earlier. You spoke about the fact that often these bocks have a tor at the end. So A-T-O-R. Actually, it's more of a doppelbock. So Salvatore by Paulina was the quote-unquote original doppelbock, according to everybody. That seems to be the first one. And before they were even called double bocks, it was just the Salvators. That was, you know, it was like the Kleenex of tissues, basically. So after there was, you know, the branding wars, you know, went on, and people wanted to make the same style but not have to call it Salvatore. And people, as you said, Lisa, started calling their doppelbocks with that A-T-O-R at the end. So what was that one that you mentioned earlier? Trogator?
Troganator. Yes.
Troganator. So, exactly.
Yes, so wonderful beer. Yeah.
And it's cool to see creative names that use that suffix in a sense. It's so fun. And actually, Troganator is in the BJCP as an example for the style.
Good for them, because it's Trogs for those not hanging out in Pennsylvania. Yeah, it's two brothers, and it's basically a sort of slight change to their surname. And now, of course, it's a relatively big brewery, and it's wonderful. But yeah, there are some really interesting ones up there. And I'm trying to think of Abita in New Orleans has, I want to say, Andy Gator, so they get an alligator. reference in there, but you can be so creative with some of these, but you have to imagine initially they were all just ripping each other off, because there was no this is what you did then. There was no reason not to. So
One of the styles I know that I've definitely had this one was from Eyinger, also German brewery, and that one's called Celebrator. So same suffix, but obviously the word feels a bit different because it's just a it's just a word, really.
Less churchy, cool. more just kind of fun. Yeah, and I think, is that the one that comes with the little goat around the neck of the bottle?
I think so.
I think it is.
I think it's that one. And it's very cute. I think I bought it because of that.
Which, you know, hey, if that works, you know, no shame in that. It's all it's all good. And again, like, goats are so much fun, so why not? You know, actually, maybe that's a question, is are there other animals that people should be naming beers after to kind of maybe create a whole, you know, style tie-in? I don't know. I don't know.
What animal would you name a beer after?
A llama.
Oh, that's fun.
That's cute. What kind of beer?
A sour.
Ooh,
that's cute.
I don't know what kind of sour, but I would like a really fluffy llama with a colorful necklace of some kind, like a pom-pom necklace, and it would have to be some kind of fun sour, I think.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's cute.
Gosh, I'm thinking something, again, I'm thinking something weird, like an okapi, but like, what would the beer be? I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe something made with weird grains or something, like maybe something brewed from spelt, or I don't know. That would just be interesting to try something, you know, where you've got that mix of the stripes and you know, the dark color. I don't know. I'm not sure how you would convey stripe. So.
What would you do, Christina?
I would make one after my dog.
And George. Throwback to last week's episode, would you call it the spooky black dog?
I would call it Demon.
Demon spawn.
That is the nickname I call my dog, and he answers to it at this point. So full disclosure, he's my bestie and I love him so much, but he is definitely a demon.
Oh, I love it.
And it would be a dark beer.
Yes. Naturally. Yeah, would have to be. Well, that's funny. Although I wonder too, just thinking back to the, you know, the Ators, or, you know, are there actually Bell's Consecrator? That's another really good one, at least in North America. Like, has there been an Irish take on it yet? Has an Irish brewery done, you know, air quotes, a real Doppelbock? Have we seen someone take on the style? I'm just thinking this, be like, here in Ireland, there's so much scope for people to come up with great names, and people are really good at that with our breweries here. But I don't know, Christina, I don't know if you know.
I don't know off the top of my head, but if someone should do it, because as we were saying before this episode, more lagers, please, more and more and more lagers, and more lagers from different places. I would love to see any of the styles of Bock showing up in Ireland made by Irish breweries. I think that would be amazing.
Yeah, especially since, again, we get relatively few directly from Germany. Now, I know there are some places bringing some in, like shout out to the Beer Club and Martin's, places like that, but it's not that many. You know, I know before we moved here, there was an assumption that, like, oh, we could get all of these European beers whenever. No, there are not that many.
Somehow not. Somehow not. I agree. I think if there is anything to be taken away, it's breweries. Please brew some lovely lagers for us. But once again, the beer ladies are working the manifestation magic. So we expect that a new Bock will be announced like next week.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Although even if it's like something seasonal, we're fine with that. One-offs are all good. We'll try it. See how it goes.
That's glorious. Yeah. I would just like to see more people experimenting with styles and not necessarily with how many different things can we stick into the single beer. Do you know what I mean? Not that there's anything wrong with that, because I like the weird beers. The weirder, the better. I'm here for it. But I'd like to see some people just trying new styles as well. Just bring those over as well while we're mixing everything up. The newer, the more fun. Just try it all.
Yeah.
I think I know why, though, we don't see so many lagers, and it's just because they take much longer to make.
Yeah,
much
hard.
More care in making them. You know, they are hard to make, and I understand, you know, because a Doppelbock would be aged for 5-6 months. I mean, most people want to brew a beer and turn it around and have it finished in that time, you know, long ago. But yeah.
And like we said, they're technically harder. You cannot hide things in a lager like you can in an ale. As Lisa said earlier, a lot of people start with trying to brew a lager. Just because it's easy to drink doesn't mean it's easy to brew.
Definitely.
100%.
Though that said, more and more people are beginning to experiment with sort of barrel programs. And I know people love to kind of go for those, you know, the whiskey barrel aged or, you know, all of that. All good. But yeah, it would be interesting if people were also kind of just setting some of those barrels aside, maybe just like straight up lagering, just see what comes up. And I think maybe faster turnaround for some of that too, even though it's longer than a traditional, you know, beer. As long as some of those, you know, the barrel aged, again, air quotes, if, you know, it's not going to be 2 years, like maybe we're talking 6 months or even less. Yeah,
I mean, definitely I'd be down to go in with some people to sponsor a barrel of some kind of lager that's going to be aged for 6 months. Like, I would totally be into that. That would be amazing, actually.
Yeah, guys, we've got ideas. Reach out. So hard to hear first. 100%.
Yeah, the podcast will totally sponsor a barrel.
Yeah, everyone, give some money to our bias pint. We will put this toward, you know. Yeah,
and then we'll have like a live. Then we'll have like a live podcast or something.
Yeah, get down to the community. Yeah. See, we're manifesting things into the world. I like this.
Yes. Indeed.
Somebody come up with this.
Oh, and actually, before we go, that is a perfect segue again, because there's also this tie-in, you know, the goat Capricorn. So for people who are into all your astrology, and I don't know because I'm too old, but you guys know about these things. So if you're, you know, if you're going for the goat Capricorn, what does it mean about your beer? I don't know.
Now, I had heard and read that the link between Capricorn and the goat and the beer is because it's brewed from January to the end, well, you know, until the sort of middle
of spring. Okay.
January is the sign of Capricorn, or that's the time of year when the Capricorn star sign is around. I mean, God, don't take it from me. But it's actually, you know, that's what I'd read, or that's what I'd heard, is if you stop brewing in January, that's the time of Capricorn in the sky. So therefore, Capricorn, don't know.
There we go.
However, you know what I just thought was just a very fun, novel thing was in Poland, there's a city called Poznan. And Poznan's logo, or its coat of arms, has got two goats and they lock horns. And it's very cool because you see the goats everywhere. And I wonder how many Bocks they make. Wouldn't it be
fun? That's an interesting idea.
Possible. Oh, that'd be cute.
And that's a big like tech center too. Anyone who's ever worked for a big tech company, you've got an office there. So just saying, someone has been or someone has come from there. So there maybe ask them to bring some beer.
Excellent beer scene there. Take it from me. Mm. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Field trip. There we go. Yeah, I think that's a really great question though. Like we've talked about, you know, some American box, Doppelbox, but there have got to be others in other, you know, other parts of Europe and other parts of German speaking Europe as well. So yeah, there must be Austrian ones, Swiss ones. So yeah, it's a great point.
I believe a few of the UK breweries are doing box quite well. So if we could get our hands on some of those, that might be nice too. But you know, once again, just shout out to all the brewers. Please make a box for us, please.
Yeah, we just love to try it. Yeah, please. See how it goes.
Yeah, that's it. So friends, anything more that we want to say on box? Did we leave out any fun tidbits or trivia or things or questions? Like what is an Urbach? Oh God, let's not go there.
I feel like we're under needs more research, which
yes,
not a bad thing in this case. But yeah, listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Box you love, box you hate. You know, are they even all one thing? You know, discuss.
And where do you find your box? Do tell us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Please let us know because some of us would like to acquire some.
Yes, we would. Especially on the, you know, in everyday life so that we don't have to drink New England IPAs on a Bach episode.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, the beer's lovely. I was just, you know, when I was reading all about the box, I just wanted that sort of Doppelbock, like warmth, bready deliciousness. So
yeah, I have to say I am really pleased. Again, shout out to Martins in Fairview because they had a couple. I was glad to find this one. And they had the Polliner one too, which I've had before. So I was glad to get one I haven't had before just to, you know, compare and contrast. But yeah, it's nice to have a bit of a selection. So, and it's nice to, again, do that sort of spur of the moment, not have to plan and, you know.
I will say about Martins, I love Martins of Fairview. They're just amazing. And actually this time of year, closer to Christmas, they get in a lot of beers from the continent. Specifically Belgium is what I look for a lot. So I'm always sort of on the eye, I look out for this time of year at Martins, but I love Martins. Such a great off license.
Great place. And they don't even sponsor us. We just happen to live near it and they're lovely. So.
Yeah. No one has sponsored us. These are just facts.
Yes. Facts. Exactly. Yeah. And at the moment they have a lovely window display. Again, we're recording just before Halloween. They'll probably change it after, but right now it's very pumpkin-y and seasonal and really nice.
Very nice. Well, that's it. If anybody goes past Martins, do you, tell them we sent you.
Yes.
that'd be nice. But ladies, gents, people at home, we're going to wrap up here on Box. So, I mean, here's what we know. There's potentially a family of beers called Box. Some of them are lighter, some of them are darker, but they are strong. So we're talking above 6%. They're generally very malt forward. Some of them to the point of being called liquid bread, but they are clean and delicious and a marvel of German engineering as usual. So let's have more of them. Right. See you all on the socials. We'll see you on Twitter. We're at Beer Ladies Pod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook even. Our website is coming to you in the next couple of weeks. We're just waiting on some domain things.
We're going
to
get and, there.
Yeah, we're nearly there. We're nearly there. And that's it. So see you next week for another Beer Ladies episode. And please do share with your friends or buy us a pint. We'd love it. All right. Bye, everybody. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.